listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start in Major League Baseball, where, as you just mentioned, the Bryce Harper sweepstakes have come to a close. Reports say the free agent outfielder will sign with the Philadelphia Phillies, and they are finalizing a 13-year, $330 million contract, making Harper the highest-paid free agent in baseball history. RJ, what does Vegas say?
Well, listen, this is what Vegas, this is what we do the best. We quantify with numbers. So let's start and looking and at the news, the breaking news. How have the numbers changed? And luckily, we got Brad Powers, our newsreader.
Yes. And as far as the Phillies odds changing, the Phillies season win total opened up 86.5 now with Bryce Harper. Phillies season win total, how many games are the Phillies are going to win this year, up from 86.5 to now 89.5. World Series odds.
Well, slow down. So 86.5 to 89.5. The first thing we got to realize is, in that original number, how much assumption was there that Bryce Harper was going? So just to give you an example, let's say that you're thinking of buying a house. And let's say that the house is going to be near this major shopping center that's anchored by an Apple store. You know, something that's just really going to be positive for the neighborhood. Well, what do investors do? They say, well, what's the value if the shopping center happens of the house? Let's just say $1 million. And what's the value if it doesn't happen? Let's just say $2 million it would be in reverse. So $2 million if it happens, $1 million if it doesn't. Now they figure out, okay, what's the percentage chance this baby's going to happen? Let's keep it simple. Say it's 50-50. Well, what would they pay for the house?
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million, because they're going to say there's a delta, a difference of $1 million in this hypothetical. There's a 50% chance it goes one way, 50% it goes the other. So the potential of that shopping center is worth $500,000 to the house. It's the same thing with betting odds. If everybody thought, for example, if it was almost like it's all over but the shouting and sign and Harper were going to the Phillies, then all of the value of Harper would have been built in yesterday. So the 86.5 to 89.5 doesn't tell you anything unless we know what was the assumptions when the 86.5 came out.
And we don't know for certain how much the books assumed the chances that Harper would go to the Phillies at that number.
You got any sense, Fez, of how much they assumed?
Probably about a 1/3 chance, RJ.
Okay, so what we're saying is we think at minimum Harper's worth 3 games, but it sounds like he's probably worth more like 4 games. You know, whereas that this adjustment is, okay, it happened, but there was still built in a little bit of value for Harper other than these 3 in that opening 86.5. So meaning if Harper came out and said, I'll retire before I become a Philly, then that 86.5 probably would not have opened it there. Probably would have opened at 85.5.
Yes.
Okay, so does that feel right? Let's just kind of not just regurgitate the numbers, but let's ask ourselves, does it feel right that one of the best players in baseball, position player, is worth about 4 games? What do you think, Fez?
Feels right to me. We just saw Manny Machado go to San Diego. Their season win number went up 3 games from the start in San Diego.
But same issue there.
The
same issue as in how much of the assumption that was a place he was likely to go.
But this was a surprise that he went to San Diego versus the opening number.
Okay, so let's just say 3 or 4 games is the value of a great hitter, an obvious or a great position player. Bryce Harper fits the bill. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, looking at the Bryce Harper signing to the Phillies. One thing that just strikes me as a fan, and we did a little research before the show, in the early 2000s, the New York Mets. I don't know if you know this, Fez, they're in New York City. And they sold for about, if you looked at the deal, about $400 million. Now, I do have a degree in finance, but I'm not a professor. Jonas, does it make sense that like 15 years ago that you could buy the Mets for about the same amount of money that Bryce Harper is going to get paid to play baseball for a team? He could have said, all right, guys, we got two choices here. Give me the 330 or give me 80% ownership in the team. I mean, I get it. It's been 15 years, but boy, oh boy, doesn't it tell us how much bigger sports is? And it's not so much that sports is that much more popular. It's just the ability of sports to monetize with streaming, with the idea that everyone's watching on DVR except for sports. Boy, this is the time to be an owner, it would seem.
Yeah, sports is the one of the few remaining live events that actually has some value in it, because you've got to watch it live to know what's happening.
I mean, you put The Bachelor, I know personally, on that list.
Yeah, the Hills, The Bachelor, Very Cavallari, all that stuff, of course.
Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell. Okay, now, if the over-under in wins is 89.5, like it is now for Philadelphia, where does that put that in context of the rest of the teams? This is amazing. Right now, the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that last season was under 500, a losing team, the Phillies, are now considered by Vegas to be the sixth best team in baseball. Boy, does that seem right to you, Fez?
It does seem right.
So I'm just going to do some simple math. They won 80 games last year. We're saying that we think Harper is worth maybe four, let's say. Let's be optimistic. Four wins. All right. 80 plus four. Okay. 84. It's 84 wins. Now they're at 89.5. So explain to me, what is it about the rest of this Phillies team that there's so much optimism for?
Well, the Phillies had the division lead for most of the year last year, so that 80-82 record. Now, I hate to say September games would count less.
Seems like it count more.
Yeah, they probably should count more, but what happened is that the Phillies just went into a swoon for whatever reason in September, got into their mindset, and then the last couple weeks, when they clearly weren't going to make the playoffs, they pretty much mailed it in. Also, they had some other key acquisitions. They got McCutchen in the outfield as well.
How much do we value him?
It's probably worth a game and a half.
Wow. So wait a minute. McCutchen is worth about half as much as Bryce Harper?
I'd say Harper's worth 3.5 or 4.
All right. So almost half as much, you're saying, for McCutchen.
Yes.
Okay.
Veteran leadership also. And here's a team that needed that veteran leadership after their collapse last year.
All right. So the teams ahead, by the way, Yankees are tied for first, 96.5 wins. The Astros are tied with them. Number three, the Red Sox. Number four, the Dodgers. Number five, the Indians. And number six, the Phillies. Over under regular season wins. And right below the Phillies, the Cardinals and the Nationals. I think Sports Illustrated's picking the Nationals to win it this year. Is Harper, I mean, if you do things on paper, we know doing things on paper versus the reality on the field and the clubhouse. Is Harper a glue guy? Is he a team guy? Because at one point, he was like a young Ken Griffey Jr. type, and he had some swagger. And maybe Jonas is best to answer this question. You know, you're watching these games every game, every night. You're a grinder. How would you, when it came to contribution to the team, rate Harper?
He's always been seen as a little bit of a diva. He got in a fight with his teammate in the clubhouse, Jonathan Papelbon. There's been other issues before, not so complimentary things about Dusty Baker after Dusty Baker left the team. So he does have sort of a little bit of a negative reputation when it comes to being more about me than he is the team.
Yeah, that's what I've always felt. And I guess the last question is, so Harper is how old?
26.
All right, so let's do the math again. He's going to be 39 years old when this is over. And baseball's contracts are fully guaranteed. You know what would be a great prop bet? Over under Bryce Harper's weight the last year of his contract. I mean, I'm guessing he'll look like Willie Stargell, you know, before the diet is what I'm guessing. Because, I mean, think about it. Part of the motivation, we always hear, oh, it's someone's contract year, which means they're trying hard. Well, when you have a 13-year guaranteed deal.
One of the things I think you guys do a great job of explaining, and had before I worked on Straight Outta Vegas, I would have never understood the idea behind this. But you're telling people now that one of the best players in Major League Baseball, who just got paid $330 million, is worth about four wins. To anybody out there outside of you guys who know what you're talking about, we would all look at that and say, well, that seems really low for a guy who's as talented as Bryce Harper. How do you come to the conclusion that he's worth just four wins?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Sabermetrics leads the way with this kind of thinking, which is value above replacement. The theory is, and we saw it with the running back replacing Gurley, a guy that was sitting on his couch, and then he steps up and seemingly is preferred over Gurley. Now, we can again talk about that conspiracy theory, but a baseball team is going to be able to, I guess it's like Major League, right? If you think about Major League, is what were they doing there? It was like guys selling used cars, tires, and it was like you can field a team of the very best guys that aren't on a team right now. In a weird way, that's what almost what like an expansion team is, except they get to draft a little bit. Now, all you can do now is add players that are incrementally better than that. And the theory is you add up all the little, okay, that guy, that third baseman is a little bit better than a replacement level guy. That's an extra half win. Now, if you go around all the position players, all the pitchers, the manager, you add it all up, you're going to have like for the very best teams. And let's just do the simple math. So when you have 162 games, 81 and 81 is break even, right? Well, the very best team here is the Yankees, is 96 wins. So they're saying they've got 15 extra wins than just an average team. And the worst team is going to probably be about 15 less. So now if from average to the best, Jonas, is 15 and one player adds four, he's like giving you about a third of the way to go from average to the best. Fez, is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, absolutely. And just if Harper has like an MVP type year, he'll be worth more. He'd be worth like 6.5 wins. But if he has a down year like he had last year, he'd only be worth 2. So this is a weighted average.
Well, personally, I think him having a guaranteed 300 plus mil over 13 years will help his motivation. But again, I'm an optimist.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Kyler Murray was measured at the NFL Draft Combine in Indianapolis earlier today. Height was a little over 5'10", weighing about 207 pounds, right around where Russell Wilson was at his Combine a few years back. So, RJ, what is Vegas' take on the Kyler Murray measurements that Steve Fezzik was all over?
Well, I got to tell you, another example where the odds tell the story, and we've got the odds.
First off, an upset that Kyler Murray measured at 5'10". Over-under was 5'10". The over was plus 200, 2-1 on that. That was a little bit of a surprise.
Talk about a bet. You know, the question I get more than anything during Super Bowl week is, wait a minute, RJ, you're telling me that you can bet on the length of the national anthem? Why doesn't so-and-so bet $50 million on it and just sing it really slowly? But the limits are low on these kind of bets, but I think Kyler would have had a little. That's true inside information.
Exactly. But more importantly, Kyler Murray's draft position. So his draft position, Kyler Murray, 9.5. So he's either going to be taken in the first 9 picks of the draft or after 9.
So it's over under 9.5. So another way to think of it, is it better? Is it 9 or better, 10 or worse?
And the under was -175. What does under mean? Earlier. So the first 9 picks of the draft.
Yeah. So what happened was, if you look at 9.5, is that point, is it going to be before or after? Initially, when the prop came out, it was about 50-50.
Yep.
About half the people said it's going to be first 9 picks. And when I say said, they bet. That was their voice. And half the people said 10th pick or after. Now, in the couple weeks since that went up, seemed to be a nice sentiment movement positive to Murray. A lot of talk about, you know, maybe size doesn't matter as much at this point, blah, blah, blah. And as of even yesterday, the math said 63% chance he's in the first 9 picks. So initially 50% in the first 9 picks, Kyler Murray, goes to 63. Now with the news of his size, Fez, is 75% chance he's going to go in the top 9 picks. So it went from 50 to 75 for Kyler Murray in the top 9 picks in literally the last couple of weeks. So a lot of optimism in regards to his, Kyler Murray's draft position.
Guys, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. College basketball, RJ, the number 3 Duke Blue Devils, coming off a loss to Virginia Tech last game out, will be taking on Miami this weekend. Still waiting word as to what the future of Zion Williamson will be. Where do you stand on the Zion situation at Duke?
You know, boy, we got so much to talk about now, right? We got a 7 o'clock game. Why don't we do that first? Let's do a quick handicap on the 7 o'clock so people have time to act on it. And then we'll come back, talk about Zion. And I've actually got a little more on Kyler Murray. So, Brad, give us that 7 o'clock handicap.
Yeah, so Nebraska's at Michigan coming up here. Michigan's right around an 11.5-point favorite. My lean on this game is to take Nebraska.
So it's a lean, not a like.
Lean, not a like. Lean Nebraska plus 11.5. And it's more of a fade against Michigan, a Michigan team that's struggling to score. So in Michigan's last 11 games, the Wolverines are averaging 65 points per game. What does that mean? Where would that rank? If you'd average that out through the course of the season, 65 points per game, Michigan would have the number 327 offense in America. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be laying double digits with a team that's having trouble extending margin by scoring on offense. That's why I lean Nebraska plus 11.5.
But you got to wonder the other side. If a team's not scoring a lot and they're playing a team they're much better than and they get a nice lead, aren't they going to want to, you know, stretch your legs a little bit?
They might. It's possible. But Michigan hasn't been doing it here as of late, RJ.
So, but when you're given that kind of haughty voice, like, well, they might, wink, wink, but I know more than you. You're not betting this game. You're just leaning.
No, it's just a lean.
So you have that much haughtiness even when it's a lean. I mean, when it's a like.
That, you know, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, guys, when we come back, we're going to give you the other games on TV tonight that matter. A little more Kyler Murray. And also, how much is Zion really worth?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We have a doubleheader in the NBA on TNT. They tip off at 8 Eastern time. The Thunder are hosting the 76ers. Right now, OKC on pregame.com is a 4-point favorite.
Steve Fezzik, NBA expert.
I like Oklahoma City, -4. Embiid is out.
So you like him means you bet him.
I bet them, -4. And Embiid is really important to Philadelphia. How important? Well, the last 6 games without Embiid, 76ers 0-6 against the spread, 1-5 straight up. Now, that 0-6.
Let's keep in mind, 0-6 against the spread, a novice listener might say, well, yeah, of course they're no good without him. The market adjusts for Embiid, but apparently not enough.
Yes, and I don't think they adjusted tonight because the big man for Philly, the backup big man, Boban, is out as well for Philadelphia. And frankly, Philly, just for whatever reason, struggles against Oklahoma City.
Hold on. We're talking about a bunch of things here. So you're making a fascinating point. The value of any player is relative. The old joke is, how much was Joe Montana worth? Half a point when Steve Young was his backup. So you're saying Embiid out and his backup is out. So how big of a drop is it to the third stringer?
The third stringer is below replacement level. So big drop off.
All right. Also, there's a history here with these teams.
Yeah, the last 19 times these teams have played, RJ, Oklahoma City is 19-0, straight up 14-5 against the spread.
Now, let me get this straight, though. I have a math minor, not a major. They play twice a season, right?
Yep.
So is this probably, like, are you trying to sneak in, like, the worst trend of the month and see if anyone complains?
Well, a 19-0, I got to go ahead and throw it out there.
What possibly could be the reason that when these teams play twice a year over the last decade, that one of them is winning all the games?
Well, obviously the last couple years is much more relevant than what happened back in
2011. But if we only looked at the last couple, it would be 4-0 and we wouldn't be talking about
it. No, it's still not insignificant completely.
I don't know.
Guys, after they go final in Oklahoma City, it is the Jazz at the Nuggets. And right now, Denver is a 7-point favorite on pregame.com.
Fez is going to give us one that says, if it's a left-handed foul shooter and the game starts after 8 p.m. and the referee has red hair, they're 28-0. Am I correct?
No.
Okay.
I lean to Denver here. It's a bad spot for Utah. Utah just had to play in altitude last night. They beat the Clippers. Now they have to play a back-to-back game traveling into altitude. Normally, I would bet on Denver in this situation. However, it's just a lean because if any team can handle a back-to-back in altitude, it likely would be Utah. So just a lean to Denver.
Okay, so the team played where last night?
Utah was at home last night.
Okay.
And now they had to fly into Denver, and they're playing in Denver.
Okay. So if you're an altitude team, that's an interesting question I've never thought of. If you're an altitude team yourself, obviously you're relatively better suited to deal with it than your opponent, but does it still take more out of you? So if Utah plays a game at sea level in scenario A, then they play a game at altitude in scenario B, are they more tired after the game at altitude, even though they're so used to altitude?
I think it'd be worse to have to play back-to-back games in altitude.
Where did you get your MD at?
I haven't achieved it yet.
Okay.
Guys, we will get to a crosstown rival in college hoops. But before we do so, I want to let you know we are brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund before, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. It is USC at UCLA in college hoops tonight. And right now, the Bruins are a 4-point favorite.
Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, also does not have an MD.
No, I do not. So we lean on this one on UCLA -4, not a like. So if you're going to bet it, kind of a pizza bet, UCLA -4. Here's what I see from both these teams. It's kind of tough to bet either team this year. Both teams extremely disappointing, wildly inconsistent. UCLA has an interim coach. Looked like their season was over with. Nothing good happening with UCLA. And then last week happened. UCLA got a big home win over Oregon State. Then UCLA's down 19 to Oregon at halftime. Season's over, folks. It's all over. And what does UCLA do? They come back, rally, and win. That seems to be a turning point for this Bruins team, who also has revenge against USC from earlier this year. Bruins at home as a lean -4.
Why not a like?
Because the market has bet this UCLA team up like a point and a half already, 2 points.
You mean from the opener?
From the opener.
So yep. At the opener, you would have bet this?
Yes, I would have.
Okay. And guys, you know, I get this all the time. It's like, why are you so hard on Fezzik? Why are you so hard on Brad? It's because we know that there's literally hundreds of thousands of people listening right now who are, some of them, many of them, half of them, are betting money on this stuff. So this is like a peer review. If it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to say it. If it doesn't make sense to Fez, he's going to say it. So you know if we agree for real. And when Fez says something crazy, I'm going to point it out. And it's not for me. I'm pointing it out for you.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. The craziness continues back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.